Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. I'm Dr. John, and we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. At 9 o'clock right here, we've got Phasma Paranormal, and then at 9:30, we will have Little Spider Creations. Before we get started, I wanted to go over just a couple of things on our calendar. If you go to our website, ComicConStars.com, you can see we've got a busy fall schedule laid out for everybody for on Blog Talk Radio and on the VOC Nation, where we are proud to be a member now. We're now a proud member of the VOC Nation with Brady Hicks and his whole gang of great commentators. First of all, of course, tonight we've got our show. And then on Saturday, we will be live and in person at the Crystal Coast Comic-Con up in Swansboro, North Carolina. That will be myself and Papa Stro Maestro. Then next week, 9 p.m. on Thursday night, got a very special guest as we are looking forward to the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con. We've got one of our special guests, that being none other than NFL quarterback legend Roman Gabriel of the L.A. Rams. I remember watching him on television and watching reruns. He was one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. So we are very pleased to have Roman Gabriel with us next week at 9 p.m. Then at 9:30, we will have some members of The Walking Dead who will also be at the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con. At 10:30, we'll be doing a live remote from the Fear Show right outside of Independence Mall in Wilmington with our special guests, Papa Stro Maestro, and writer and director Alex Sinise. So we've got a lot going on in the next week, 2 weeks, and in the last quarter of the year here on Comic-Con Stars. Right now, if I will, bring your attention to the Comic-Con Stars website, and you can follow along with us. You can go to the homepage, and you will see a link to Phasma Paranormal Photos. And right now, I would like to introduce Kelly and Michael Broski of Phasma Paranormal. Folks, good evening. It's great having you with us tonight.
Hey.
Hey, good evening, John.
Hey, thanks a lot for being here. You are wonderful paranormal investigators. You have been on shows such as Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. Enjoyed that one very much. And you get out all over the South, well, actually all over the country, investigating paranormal activities. One thing that I'll say is I'm so impressed with the work you've done. We're going to be doing a joint investigation on the night of November the 19th and 20th at Grace on 2nd in Wilmington, supposedly a very haunted little restaurant. So that will be a lot of fun. We'll be talking more about that later. First of all, why don't you two introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your organization and what do you do?
Well, my name is Kelly and my husband, Michael, and we are Phasma Paranormal. We're kind of a different group because we're a husband and wife group. So, you know, we go about investigating. We get a lot of calls from people and we go to their homes or businesses, investigate. Everything's anonymous. Everything's free of charge. And we bring, you know, all of our education and our religious beliefs into our investigations.
Yeah, and my name is Michael, the husband, and I do a lot of the data review. That would be audio and video. And we've just had a great time going all over the state, South Carolina, North Carolina, and beyond. And we've seen a lot of special places in both states.
Wow, that sounds great. Now, you said something that I found quite interesting there. You said you also go to people's businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about, if you don't mind, tell me about a business that you don't need to give the name of it, of course not, but what kind of a business was it, and what did you find there? What was one of the most interesting things that you found at a business?
Well, we actually did a local business here in Conway. I can't really say what kind of business it is because it would give it away, and we were asked to keep it confidential. But it was a small – it used to be a house that was converted into a business, and we found out from the owner that at one point it was a boarding house back in the 40s. And we had an interesting conversation with a spirit at the business who not only correctly identified the street also identified the river, which is the Waccamaw, which is currently flooding Conway, and it also identified the last president it remembered as Ronald Reagan. So we thought
that is pretty unique. How did you end up recording that conversation or that information in some way?
Mm-hmm. We sure did. Mike, you have it on recording, don't you?
Yeah, sure did. We got this through a spirit box. Now, spirit box, if you watch any of the paranormal shows, is a device that scans through very rapidly radio channels, and the theory out there is that spirits find this sometimes a useful tool to communicate through. And not only did we get President Reagan mentioned, which was interesting, it also said the last hurricane they remember was Hugo, which is kind of fascinating too.
It's all such relevant information, which adds relevance to the data that we collected.
Well, it certainly does. That's a very striking thing to hear. I would like to, maybe when we do one of our investigations, maybe you can share a little bit of that with us, because I at one point lived in Conway and know a little bit about it. So that would be a really great thing to hear about. Now, what was your most, so far, what has been your most memorable investigation?
Well, I'd have to say without a shadow of a doubt, over the summer we did an overnight lockdown at St. Albans Sanatorium and in Radford, Virginia, and that was probably one of the most amazing experiences of my entire life. We had an over 100,000 square foot facility for about 9 or 10 hours with just my husband and myself in the pitch black dark. And it was unbelievable. It was just so incredibly, I can't even put it into words. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible, the experiences and just being there and getting to live that place. I mean, there's so much energy in there. It's just unreal.
I can imagine. I had an experience similar to that. A good friend of mine is ghost author John Schicchetti up in Delaware, Ohio. That's the home of Ohio Wesleyan. And before they did the big remodel, he and I went into Stuyvesant Hall, which was a huge dormitory. It was a very haunted place. So many stories. And I got very worried about John at one point, because it seemed like he might be talking and listening to the spirits there more than he was me. do you know what I mean, Michael?
I sure do. You know, sometimes you really have to watch, because it is very fascinating to us. I mean, to encounter something so strange, you know, and we live our normal average life, and then to come across something you just have no explanation to, it really can dazzle you and, you know, captivate you to the point where you get obsessed with it. So you really have to be careful, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I can tell you the power of prayer really helped. I was praying that somebody would somehow get into the building and join us, because I was really getting a little frightened. And lo and behold, it wasn't very long until two students who knew John, he's the head of security there, happened to wander in. They snuck in the back way. They had seen us going in earlier, and my prayer was answered, and it was a lot better experience. But those two person investigations can be rough, can't they?
I don't know about rough. I really think it's almost, in some way, it's almost easier, because there's no noise contamination. We know each other's voices. We know each other's mannerisms. So if one of us starts acting odd, the other one can pick up on it very quickly. I mean, my husband and I have been married for 23 years. So we have quite a you know, we know each other, we have a good chemistry, and we play very well off each other as far as seeing and hearing things. You know, his weaknesses are my strengths and vice versa. So I think it's an incredible experience that might not be the same if there were 50 people in the building.
Yeah, I mean, I might add, John, that you did exactly the correct thing there. When you get into a situation and you feel like you're kind of losing a little control, you grounded yourself with prayer, which is something, you know, that your faith and your beliefs, so that probably protected you. But it can get a little scary if you're only there with another person and you're not sure exactly what's going on. So I totally agree with you. It can get a little frightening.
All right. Well, I'm glad to know that I did the right thing. That was long before I had done much studying and really knew what to do. So I guess a natural instinct was a good thing.
Always.
Absolutely.
Now, I've got a question for you that a lot of people always want to know, and that is, you're around spirits. You're around spirits in your work with Phasma Paranormal. Do you, in some way, can you prevent them from coming home with you? I mean, I've heard of spirits following people home and following them for quite a while.
Well, you know, it has happened to us. One of our first investigations, we went to a very isolated cemetery. There was probably only maybe 10 graves. Most of them were vandalized, broken. You know, it was in the middle of the woods. From the moment we walked up on it, I got a bad feeling, and we didn't stay very long. We listened to some of the audio that we had collected on the way home, and it was full of cursing. So when we got home, all of a sudden, our garage door and our brand-new house wouldn't open. Finally got in the house, the microwave was turning on by itself. So we weren't even putting two and two together because we were so new in the field at that point. We went to dinner. It was bright, sunny, beautiful day outside. We went to dinner at a local restaurant. The electricity went out just in the restaurant, just in our section. We came home. My dog wouldn't come anywhere near me. And I had bad nightmares that night. And we didn't realize until later on that something had followed us home. So, you know, we spoke with one of the priests that we deal with, and we asked him, and he told us that at the end of the investigation, we should always say, thank you for speaking with us, but you are not welcome to follow us home. It doesn't always work. We do occasionally have a few that are curious and come home to kind of see what's going on. But that was the one and only time we ever had anything that I refer to as naughty follow us home.
Yeah, and we think that a great preponderance of these spirits are simply people that, A, don't realize they've moved on, or B, there's something about you that they're attracted to, and they don't really mean harm. And a lot of times if you address them and tell them, look, you're frightening me, I don't want you here, a lot of times that will work. But, you know, having said that, she's correct. We have had a few things come home with us. So
it's always freaky when you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to the restroom in your own house and see a shadow figure walk by. And it's happened.
Well, I can tell you that when I was staying in the old Cavalier Hotel in Virginia Beach before they remodeled it, and I woke up and I saw a shadow figure walk across the walk across the wall, I was a little frightened myself. So, yes, Kelly.
But it's always different when it's in your house.
I'll agree with you on that one.
Yeah, but when it's in your own home, it's a different story.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, it's a good reason to sleep with some lights on, I'll tell you that.
The funny
so
thing
anyway,
is we really don't hear it.
I guess you've been doing this. How many years have you been doing this?
We're over 5 years now, going on well over 600 or 700 investigations in about 8 or 9 states.
Okay. What would you say are a couple of the most important lessons you have learned? Now, one of them you've already told us is to instruct any spirits not to follow you home. But what are some other lessons you've learned?
Well, you know, we learned to always, you know, I think the biggest thing, and you'll laugh when I say this, but to make sure you charge your batteries really well before you leave the house. We have a lot of equipment.
Well,
we have a lot of batteries, and all it takes is one battery you forget to charge to really screw up the investigation.
All right, now I'm going to stop you there. I want you to keep answering the question, but I want to stop you and focus on that point. Isn't it true that when spirits are around, they can drain batteries?
Oh, Lord, yes. We've had, you know, we have an investigation Saturday, a private investigation, just to give you an example. I will spend probably 4 or 5 hours tomorrow charging batteries. And we've had these batteries, some of them brand new, tested batteries, go dead in less than 10 minutes.
And not only that, we've actually had in one private investigation, they literally dropped a box on a piece of our equipment, and we caught it on video.
They're not.
Wow. I can tell you where I live here in Pawleys Island, which is one of the most haunted communities in the country, I believe. I've had times when a fully charged cell phone will go down almost within minutes, and you know something's going on. So that isn't that potentially one good way to determine if there are spirits around?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a good way to determine, because there are, you know, logical explanations for a lot of that, but it certainly is an indication something interesting is going on. I mean, you know, we've had various odd occurrences with our equipment. For example, we were in the Old City Jail doing an investigation there in Charleston, South Carolina, and the spirits turned our video camera off. My husband was wearing the video camera and didn't even realize that they had shut it off. And it takes a pretty good push on a button to shut it off. The battery was still charged and it was running, but it was not recording. And it had been. And we have no explanation. We've never done that before.
Yeah, and that's one of those lessons that we've learned, is to always double-check our equipment every few minutes to make sure that it's running. So a lot of times when you see our videos, you'll hear us saying, are we still running?
And that's why we say that, because we learned that lesson, that they'll shut the video off on you if you're not careful.
Right, now where did that happen? In that old jail. Pardon?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, in that old jail, there are like three floors, and then there's the outside and the gallows. Where did that happen in that old jail in Charleston?
I think that was down in the morgue, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, that was right in the morgue when that happened.
That's the very, very first floor.
Okay, got you. Yeah, a lot of people died on that first floor. They really did. So, all right. And so, what are some of the other lessons you learned?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest lesson is just in learning how to deal with our clients. You know, we started off. It's very difficult to speak with somebody on the phone that's freaked out, because they think they might be haunted, but they really don't believe in ghosts, is what a lot of people, how they start the conversation. And you have to be very delicate in how you speak with them, because a lot of these people just really want you to believe them. You know, and it's intrusive for a paranormal team to come into your home, your private home, and start videotaping and running equipment. So there's a lot of diplomacy and delicacy that has to be used when dealing with our clients, and I think that's something that we've kind of honed and refined over the years that we've learned to do. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why we keep it to just a husband and wife team, is that we hope that we're not as intrusive as, you know, 9-10 people converging on a house. And you know, it takes us a little longer to go through the data with just two of us, but we hope that's one of the benefits, that there's not as much contamination when it's involved with us. We know how we speak, and so I think that definitely is a benefit to having a husband and wife team.
And we've learned that. That's one other lesson we've learned, that large groups sometimes can cause anxiety with especially homeowners.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you what, I've enjoyed speaking with you and asking you some questions. Now we've got some photos that you sent me a couple of days ago, and we put those up. If everyone is on the website, comicconstars.com, there's a link that says Phasma Photos. And if we could go to that, let's talk about these. I think there are seven of them, and I'm sure these have come from some of your investigations. So tell us about photo number one and the little red circle and the arrow.
Well, this first picture you're looking at was taken on Edisto Island, South Carolina, in a small Presbyterian church cemetery. It's quite a local legend. You know, this little girl was buried. They thought she was dead. Well, this was back before the time of embalming and such. So apparently the little girl wasn't quite as dead as they thought she was when they buried her. And when they went to open the tomb to inter another family member, they found claw marks on the inside of the tomb, and they found her bones. So they redressed her, reburied her, locked the tomb, but apparently this tomb will not stay locked. This little girl is quite well known in the cemetery, haunt the cemetery. And the picture, if you focus in on it, the circle and the arrow points to a large version of it, and you see the image of a little girl standing behind a fence looking at us. And I can assure you that there was absolutely no one in that cemetery but my husband and myself.
About how long ago was that picture taken?
Last summer.
Wow, so that's recent.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a nice job in presentation of circling that. And now, could you see her during the day, or did you just take that picture and she showed up?
I did not see her. I was actually taking, I believe I took this photo with our infrared camera. So I caught it on IR. You know, IR often allows us to see things that the naked eye would not normally see. So I did not see her. It wasn't until we got home and started reviewing the evidence that we saw this amazing picture.
Right. And now about what time during the day was this taken?
Like 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 a.m. in the morning. So ghosts
mm-hmm.
come out in the morning.
It's
all right.
Haunted. It's haunted 24/7.
I believe that. I totally mm-hmm. believe that. The next photo, what is photo number 2? What's important about that one?
Well, if you focus in on the large stone in the center, you'll see the cross in the front, and you see what looks like a picture of a blurry man to the left. We're in a cemetery in Wilmington, North Carolina. Again, broad daylight on a Saturday morning. I mean, it was probably, again, 8 o'clock in the morning. And this is I think, one of our best pictures. There's quite obviously the spirit of a man there. You can see his face. You can see his pants and part of a coat. You can kind of see part of his arm. Pictures like this are not common. It's not very common to get a picture this good, at least in my opinion.
He is just simply walking from left to right.
Mm-hmm.
Those are
finding hen's teeth.
Wow. That's amazing. All right. Now, tell us about picture number 3. I see some orbs. What else?
This is from Ocala, Florida, at the site of a Seminole Indian battle. This is one of the pictures I included because I wanted to point out that some pictures are very difficult to tell if it's paranormal or if it isn't. Again, this is broad daylight. You see the orb and you see the mist. There was no mist that we saw with our own eyes. However, it's Florida, so the orb is probably moisture. But the mist, we're just not sure what it is. So when we give a lot of these talks, we include some pictures that are iffies because we want people to know, you know, that not everything is necessarily paranormal, but some things are interesting and we just don't know what they are for sure. Does that make sense?
That makes the most sense in the world. I mean, how can we really know exactly what they are? We're just fortunate that we can see them.
I agree.
All right, now, photo number 4 was very, it just looks intriguing to me. First of all, is this at a private home, correct?
No, this is in a haunted bed and breakfast in St. Augustine, Florida.
Okay.
Very haunted. Very haunted. This is Martha Lee's room is what we call it. You see the picture behind me there. She's in there and so is her cat. We've caught pictures of the cat's tail in that area as well. But she always seems to focus in on me. So if you'll notice in the picture, you can't really tell, but my husband's laying down beside me. But he's obscured and it's kind of focusing in on me again.
Right, and that image, that white image, that is the spirit image?
I believe so. There was nothing that we could find to cause it, no hair on the camera or anything like that.
And the interesting thing about this one is we actually have other devices that have reinforced that this is the paranormal. We have Melmeters going off in the middle of the night waking us up, and we actually caught the name of the cat, Toby, on one of our ITC devices when we went down last year. So you have several parts of evidence kind of all working together.
Well, and we confirmed with the owners that the cat's name was Toby, even though we didn't know that ahead of time. When we mentioned it to them, they're like, how did you know the cat's name was Toby?
Well, because a spirit told you.
Exactly.
It's, you know, simple answer. But that's
exactly.
that's great. Now, how about photo number 5? What's that?
Photo number 5 is one of my absolute all-time favorites. Photo number 5 was taken on the USS North Carolina in Wilmington. We were there. We did a 12-hour nighttime investigation on the North Carolina. I took this picture, and you have to kind of magnify it a little bit, but it looks like the image of what I call the Mariner. There is a spirit standing where there shouldn't even be able for a person to stand, and it just doesn't make any sense how anybody could be there. So it has to be something not human. And we've caught so many other images on the battleship that we know the battleship is insanely haunted. So, I mean, and you even see the orb to the left. That was a very memorable investigation. And I think I call him the Mariner.
Okay. So that is our USS North Carolina example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see, picture number 6. What's that?
Well, I call this the cemetery mist because I'm always interested to see what people have to say about this one. And picture number 7 kind of goes along with it. These two are examples of things that can be construed as being paranormal that probably aren't. And it's interesting, you know, we'll post things like this and say, see, this is an example of something that people would think is paranormal, and 50,000 people will weigh in. Oh, yeah, look, I see a face. Look, I see this. Look, I see that. Like, no, it's not paranormal.
Well,
we're trying to show you what isn't paranormal.
And we don't always stand in agreement sometimes, because I believe photo number 5 is probably paranormal simply because it's in between the stones. Which
no, Mike, that's 6.
I'm sorry, 6. It's in between the stones, which makes it very difficult for a light flare. It's kind of in shadow there. So we kind of don't always sit in agreement with photos.
And that's my point. You know, if you look at photo number 7, it's an odd reflection. There's really no reason for that reflection to be there, but it's probably not paranormal. When we do a lot of these talks, people will show us 10,000 things that are explainable. You know, what people don't understand is probably 96% of the evidence we collect never sees the light of day because we can explain it or we can't agree that it could be something paranormal. We use what's called Occam's razor.
Yeah, and I understand that. You have to be careful. I mean, you have to really call it like it is and say what you think it is. So that's interesting. Those are wonderful pictures that you've shown us, and I appreciate you being on here tonight at Comic-Con Stars, and I'm just going to put you on the spot. Can we do this again and do it sooner than later?
John, we're yours. Whenever you want us, we'll be there.
Yeah, really enjoyed
it. Well, thank you.
By the way, down there in Pauly's Island, you're in ground zero, gray man, so you better keep your eyes open and call us.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't know you a year and a half ago. or I would have called you that Tuesday morning. I certainly would have. Also,
you saw the gray man?
I believe. Well, I saw something. Let's put it that way. I don't know what it was. I saw it. It was about 6:45 a.m. But be that as it may, yes, we're down. Actually, from what I understand, Litchfield Beach is really the gray man territory. That's what I have been told by a lot of locals. But another very fascinating ghost to me is the ghost of Alice Flagg. And Alice is one of the most famous romantic ghosts in South Carolina. And I'm staring at a book right now written by Nancy Ryan. It's the novel Alice Flagg. Not many copies of that still exist. And I have had my share of times out at All Saints Church Cemetery at that beautiful large memorial stone to Alice where people leave flowers and rings and things like that. I will have to have the two of you down here to Pauly's Island and show you a couple of the things that I know about. down
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that would be fabulous.
We would enjoy that.
In the spirit world, we'll do it. And I will have more information on the website, Comic Con Stars, about our little outing in Wilmington at Grace on 2nd. That is scheduled right now for November the 19th and overnight. We'll have a couple of guests with us. I know Papa Stro Maestro has said he will be there with us. We will have a WWE wrestler, WWE Network, and world champion. So also I'll tell you this much, at least we can have one of our universes covered.
Yes, sir. That's awesome.
So look, Kelly and Michael, thank you very much for being here. We will talk with you soon, and have a good evening. And
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate being on.
You're welcome. Well, we'll have you back soon. Thanks very much.
Awesome. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay, you too. And now we will go right into our next guest, because I believe he is online, Jordan Brawner, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Little Spider Creations. Jordan, are you there?
I am here.
I'm glad you made it back into town to do this interview. Thank you very much for being here. We're glad to have you, as I promised everyone. And that's what's so interesting. I can't say this about anybody else I know. You build the biggest haunted houses in the world, don't you?
Oh, I do like to think we do.
And the first time I came to your facility in North Myrtle Beach, you remember I was stunned. It was amazing what I saw.
John, I think every time you come into my studio, you're a little stunned and or starstruck. So it's kind of hard to judge what part of you is really stunned.
I'll never forget one of the first times I came in there. I walked in there and there was a 30-foot tall demon. And you said, "Oh, he goes out on a truck tomorrow." That was the best.
Yeah.
That was just the best. So anyway, Little Spider Creations, let's talk about your most recent escapade, then we'll talk a little bit more about you and your company. But you and your brothers and your father recently got back from Spain. What were you doing over there?
We were installing Warner Brothers' very first third-party haunted house themed for a theme park. And we were there for about 2 weeks to install and set up and give them a turnkey operation based on a previous themed haunted house that they had done in-house.
And so then they called the experts from North Myrtle Beach and got the real thing in there.
Yes, they absolutely did.
All right, well, that's great. And I know we've got a picture or two from there. But so anyway, tell us a little bit about the history of Little Spider. I know when I was there the first time, you and your father told me some interesting stories about how you got started.
Yeah, absolutely. So about 25 years ago, back in 1991, my dad was recently coming out of the graphic design, you know, whatever graphic design was back in the early 90s. And he just had a fascination with Halloween and with haunted houses. It was kind of an emerging thing at that point. So we started sculpting a few things out of just basic clay and realized that he was really good at doing this kind of niche thing. And he started sculpting some masks. That's kind of where everybody started, and then evolved into some more props for haunted houses. And then we opened up our own home haunt in Greeley, Colorado. And that was just kind of a circle around the back of our house. We charged 2 pieces of candy during Halloween, so my two brothers and I didn't even have to go out trick-or-treating. Matter of fact, we rarely went out trick-or-treating. And then from there, just kept progressing and snowballing into bigger, better haunted houses, bigger props that we were creating, started doing animations, and incorporating a lot of electronics inside the products that we were creating, really keeping up with the evolution of what the Halloween industry was becoming. And all of a sudden we realized we can now sculpt and create things out of a insulating foam. It's called EPS 1-pound foam, and you can get that in giant 16 feet. And as you had the privilege of seeing a 30-foot demon. We can go as high or as big as we want with this. And that kind of started happening in 2010, where we were still kind of in Colorado, and then we transitioned over here into North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where we have an even bigger warehouse and an even bigger creative mindset on creating some great stuff.
And you certainly do. What I would like to do right now is I think people would like to take a look. A picture is worth, well, a million words when it comes to Little Spider Creations. If you can, click on the link that says, I think, Little Spider Photos. Have you got that one up?
I don't have a computer in front of me.
Okay. Well, the first one, tell us about, it says Demon's Door. Tell us about that. First of all, it's really interesting to see how tall those demons are, because they're pictures of, I guess, you and your brothers and your dad right in front of there, and you're pretty small compared to those demons.
Oh, absolutely. So those guys, I believe they stand 18 feet tall, the largest one, and I think a little less than that for the shorter guy. He's on casters, so he's still a little elevated. But Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia, California, hired us on to do what they call portals. So we got hired on for two of their portals, a terror-tory twisted one with some saw blades and some metal and just a sign. And then we did this one, which was the demon portal. What their scare portal zone was, I'm not entirely sure, but the theme of the entrance were these demons. And we really wanted to capture how they were greeting you into this area, the scare zone. So the position of them, the look of them, the glowing eyes, the glowing sign behind it with kind of a fiery background, as though they were lava rocks, and the creatures are emerging from either the depths of hell or behind some ragged rocks. And as that picture also portrays, we are a family-owned and operated business. My entire family that is blood-related is involved inside the daily operations of it. So my father sculpted a majority of it, and my subcontractors and I helped to reinforce it with the electronics, the lights, and the structure.
Wow, well, that's a pretty impressive thing, and you can just see how tall they are compared to your whole family there. Now, the next picture that we have is Little Miss Muffet.
Well, that's a heck of a spider sitting down beside her.
Oh, yes, yes. The idea behind this one was the whole theme of the haunt was twisted fairy tales. So we derive from the original fairy tales that all of us are familiar with, Rapunzel, Little Miss Muffet, Peter Pumpkin Eater, I think Snow White. There's a few other main characters that kind of come to mind when you think of fairy tales. And we wanted to put a twist on it, and so we named it Twisted Fairy Tales. And we were contracted for the old Magic Quest building in Broadway at the Beach in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And we wanted to give them a little sample of our quality and depth of theming that we can provide for the entire project. So we themed out Little Miss Muffet's area. And in this scene, the spider, who now has become much larger than life, has turned against Little Miss Muffet. And as she sat on her tuffet, he took advantage of her vulnerability and wrapped her up. I don't think she's in the photo, but she's down to the left, all bundled up inside some webbing. And we put a little pot of porridge somewhere inside of that. And he is actually animated, so he bounces around, jiggling from side to side. And then on the backside, what you don't see is a drop window where the spider is a distraction for the actual scare happening behind as an actor pops out from underneath a window.
Now, when was this done? Was this done for this year or last year or when?
This sample was created at the beginning of this year, and the building has actually been vacant ever since, and we hope to possibly do something with it. It's still relatively themed out inside the entire building, so a lot of that is kind of still structurally sound. So,
got you. Well, that's just a marvelous piece of work. No relation to that spider that I like so much in the front of your building, is it?
It is actually the spider that greets everybody out in the front of our
studio.
Oh, that's
my buddy, the spider.
That is your buddy, the spider, and he kind of represents all of us. We love spiders, hence our name. So we try and keep it lively here.
Well, that's good. In fact, I just got bit by a spider 2 days ago, but we're all well now. No brown recluse or anything, so I'm back on track now. So,
okay,
photo number
perfect.
Three, this is Six Flags. Tell us about that one.
What does the rest of it say? Is that the set, the Halloween set?
It's got the arch in the middle and the skull and the gateway.
Yeah, so This was, we were contracted by Six Flags Great Adventure and Safari, I believe they are. They're in New Jersey, and they have a Halloween show. I think it's called Dead Man's Rock Party, something similar to that. Well, they have a pre-existing Halloween show that they do every year, and we were contracted to build them a new set because their old set was relatively falling apart. And so we kind of went all out. And what you see in the photo is the whole length of it. It's 54 feet long. And on the left-hand side, you see a mausoleum that is workable. Actors can enter in and out through that. Closer to the middle, but also off to the left, is a coffin where actors can enter in and out of, giving it more depth and character. The gate is fully functional, that we made ourselves with, of course, a spider web with a little spider in the middle of it. And off to the right, you see some more stage where some of the actors are dancing and having some fun, which is just completely all over Instagram, which is just phenomenal. It's a wonderful musical that you can check out online, and also just another wonderful set to help them be as awesome as Six Flags can be.
Nice. Now comes two from Spain, Freddie. One, the first one looks like there's a doorway and you're looking down a chamber. What is that?
So this was an amazing project. One of our, our first and only right now international haunted house that we've done. And what you're looking in the first one, the really colorful, dark photo, is you're looking straight down kind of the entrance of the boiler scene. So in Freddy Krueger, one of the famous scenes is the boiler room, the whole boiler scenario, and Freddy Krueger stalking everybody through there. And so what we wanted to do is introduce you at the very beginning inside this boiler scene, and you would be entering in through an actual boiler. So what you're looking at is the door to a larger than life. It's actually much larger than the actual one inside the movie, but we figured, hey, why not? It's a nightmare anyways. So we created that, and that's what you're walking into with all of the nice pipes and gadgets that are associated with the creepy, spooky, like, boiler room.
Right. It has a real steampunk look to it. It really does.
Well, we love steampunk just as much, so absolutely, why not throw it in there? It's a little rustic.
That's exactly right, and I love steampunk too. And if you don't believe me, come to Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, February 11th and 12th in Raleigh. We'll be talking more about that later, and hopefully you can be doing some steampunk for us there. Now, the next one.
Oh, I would love to, John.
Oh, we'll talk about that. Now we've got a guy with a big mouth. What's this?
So this is what I'm calling the Snake Freddy. In one of the various scenes of Freddy Krueger, he kind of turns into the snake character and eats one of the victims. And so what we wanted to do is replicate that inside a forest scenario. And so what the actor or actress does, they get onto these wheels and the Freddy head eats them. So they kind of slide in through their mouth with flashing lights and screams happening all over the place as you're walking around with multiple distractions and visual concepts going left and right, audio happening all which way. And this is right after you exit through the boiler scenario. And I want to add both of these photos at the same time. One, to show the dark lighting concept of the final product. And in this room, all you have are green lights highlighting the trees in the background that you see. And so it's really hard to capture the entire scene with the final set dressings and lighting. So I kind of captured it with the house lights on to show you all the creepiness that we can create.
Well, it certainly is creepy. You get an A+ on that one.
Awesome.
You really do. And then I guess the last one says Trans World. And is that my buddy, the Yeti?
Yes. So this is Philip the Yeti. I named him. I don't think it's really catching on. Nobody seems to really care about it, but wanted to give him a little bit of a roundness to his sharp edges. But this is our trade show booth that's going to be traveling around for 2016. He made his first appearance at Transworld in St. Louis in March. And what this is kind of a snippet of either a haunted house or just themed winter mansion that we created. And you enter inside the foyer with some light effects and a monologue kind of detailing what you're going to be experiencing. And then a door slides open and you enter into the living room with a fireplace and a window and some low lighting to get you in the mood. And grandma is there inside the fireplace and she screams and she's being yanked up out through the chimney by Philip. And then you see a couple other things, another drop window where an actor is hiding behind a hidden passageway with a portrait. And so this is kind of an all-inclusive, hey, here's who we are, both our theming aspects, our complete custom build-out, and some sculpting capabilities. Philip is completely EPS foam, and I had to glue on all of his hair myself. So he was super fun to create and
well,
to name
he's
to splatter blood on.
So that's why.
Yeah,
and so you gave him his name, and you want to make him popular, don't you?
I'm definitely trying to. Hopefully, it'll catch on.
All right. Well, I'll try to help. Okay. We'll use Philip as much as we can. I promise. So now, what of all these projects that you've talked to us about, what was the most exciting one?
Well, I guess I'm a little biased. I definitely love the Spain one, not just for the international purposes, but the communication gap between Spanish and English was definitely malleable, for lack of words. But my whole family is just English as their native language. They are completely inept when it comes to any other sort of language. And I got a minor in Spanish. And so me being the mediator and the head of the project was definitely a fun experience. But also to just be able to say that we installed a haunted house inside Madrid, Spain for Warner Brothers Park was a really great experience to have. And we got to ride a lot of the rides for free. So I can never complain about working with an amusement park.
Oh, you've got the dream job, Jordan. I can tell you that. I have the second best dream job, and you have the dream job.
Exactly. And that's why we're working together, John. We're making the number one dream job.
That is exactly right. So now for all the fun that we've just talked about and these dream jobs, I know I spend my time working and developing web pages and keeping Comic-Con stars going and going out to events. What is the hardest part of your job being the CEO of Little Spider Creations?
Being the CEO is difficult in itself, but the hard part is, especially for us here at Little Spider Creations, is kind of just keeping track on the project itself, being the, as I like to put it, the head of the artistic world. We have a lot of creativity that's flowing, a lot of creativity that's coming in and out of not only our processes, but our studio. I mean, you're a prime example of awesome creativity that just randomly inserts itself inside our lives. And the hard part about my job is trying to, you know, keep everything flowing in a singular direction. We want to do everything and we can do everything, but most of the time we just have to accomplish one singular action. And with all of our creativity and all of our talents and every person that's involved, not only in my life, but also our company is so multifaceted in every sort of medium and every sort of creative process that my job is to really just kind of funnel that inside of a singular direction for everybody to kind of make sense of the actual product. Because although we are an art company, we are also a fabricator and a manufacturer. And so we still have to abide by the mundane processes that manufacturing industries have to abide by.
That certainly makes sense. And speaking of manufacturing, you and I had talked about the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con, and I think Little Spider Creations might be putting together a little bit of an entrance way into the Halloween Comic-Con.
Yeah, I think I recall some of that too, John. Definitely an entrance and a little bit of some fun spunk photo op type of things there. I definitely look forward to October 29th and inviting
and
everybody
and
that I know.
Some graveyard action.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. Graveyard action and the spider and whatever else I can drag along up to North Carolina from here. Yeah, it's going to be a great event.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I am looking forward to it. So, how do you choose your haunted ideas? How do they come up? Do they come up from, you know, someone will call you and say, we've got this theme park and we need this? Or do they ever say, we need you to do something, we've seen your great work, do whatever you want? How do your ideas come about?
Very seldom do my clients come up to me and say, hey, I want exactly this. The reason why they're coming to us in particular is because we know what we're doing and we know where to derive some ideas. Granted, we have a million ideas on queue and on the back burner just waiting for somebody to say, hey, I have this random stupid idea. What can you create? Maybe just pull out a couple thousand ideas and start implementing them. But for most of my clients, they kind of come up to me with, hey, we want to do a haunted house. Here's kind of the direction we were heading. Or they have a previous haunted house that they just want to make a lot better. The Freddy Krueger haunt is a prime example of that, where they had sort of a Freddy Krueger haunted house, but we came in and we amplified it. We just pumped in steroids and we just made it amazing and much better. With the case of Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia, California, they contracted us to create an idea, pitch us an idea, what do you think would work best? And one of the things that we at Little Spider Creations love to do is, one, do things that aren't always the norm. Two, we like to put a twist on things that you expect, but then you get the unexpected. And three, we just like to come up with just original great ideas. And a part of that is just seeing what's out there and trying to figure out how we can make the most of it with what we have. And with Six Flags Magic Mountain, we pitched Red's Revenge, which was a twist off of Red Riding Hood that I believe we sent you some photos of that earlier on. But Yes, so did we. We absolutely loved that haunted house. And from there, we just kind of created a storyline. My father, Mark, who is also my creative director, he just kind of creates a storyline based off of whatever topic or subject that he has kind of created for the theme. And we really just kind of run with it. There is no simple way of putting it. I mean, the creativity is so vivid here. We just put an idea on the table and we just make it work.
Well, that's great. Now, you know what? We have talked about Halloween for 25 minutes. Do you do any projects that are not Halloween projects?
You know what? I've been talking about Halloween for my entire life, so I'm never sick of talking about Halloween, but we definitely do more than just Halloween. We're just contracted with another Six Flags in Baltimore, and we have actually written an original Christmas musical, and we are going to be building a completely new and original set that will travel over to Baltimore, and that will be performed live in their park starting in December, I believe. We're diving a lot of our energies into Christmas because Christmas and Halloween seem to be combating for number one holiday. And so we deal with a lot of Christmas stuff. I'm building a few sets for Christmas shows, theatrical shows, but I'm also creating a bunch of Christmas photo opportunities and props for all over the country as of right now. And I also deal with some generic kind of prop making, theming out restaurants, building giant T-Rexes to scale for museums. Basically, if it's a creative idea or if it's a problem that has any sort of creative need, we can find a creative solution or we can just build it ourselves for whatever type of problem that exists.
Well, sounds like you can do things Halloween and everything else. Now, one thing I did want to ask you is, would you find out if we can get a video of your Christmas pageant and put it up on Comic-Con Stars?
Absolutely, John. As soon as I get that live and going, I would love to send you a video.
That's great. We'll put that up, and we'll have you on, and you can tell us a little bit about that when it becomes Christmas time. We're starting to put our Christmas schedule together, so we'll put you on there. We can talk about Christmas, too. How's that?
Perfect. I would love that.
All right. Well, Jordan, thank you very much. Jordan Brawner, who is the CEO of Little Spider Creations in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Fantastic, fantastic Halloween sets, props, and everything else. They're the best in the country, and we're so glad. I'm so glad that you're near us, and we can work on some things together. So thanks for being here with us. And what I'll do is I'll remind everybody that next week, please join us at 9 p.m. for the one, the only, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL history, Mr. Roman Gabriel. Native of Wilmington, North Carolina. In fact, that's one reason he's coming to the Cape Fear Halloween Con is because he's coming home. When they say, when Thomas Wolfe said, you can't come home again, Roman Gabriel said, I can. And we're glad he is. We look forward to having him on Comic-Con Stars next week. Thanks to you, Jordan. Thanks to Kelly and Michael Broski, who are with Phasma Paranormal. We learned a little bit about ghosts and ghost hunts. Got me scared. So have a great Halloween, Jordan, and I will speak with you soon. And thanks to everybody for joining us on this week's Comic-Con Stars. Have a good one.
My pleasure, John.
Bye-bye.